Hello, and welcome to Back Issue Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayer.
In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about an older comic book storyline.
In this Back Issue Spotlight, I'm joined by James, and we're going to be discussing the Batman Unsullied storyline from Batman number 655 to 658 by Grant Morrison and Andy Kubert. It was published in 2006 and introduced Damian Wayne. James, how you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you doing, John?
I am doing well. Now, I read this back when it came out, which was late 2006.
Okay.
Have not read it since.
I read it for the first time, so I had to take my mind back and say, who is this Robin at this time? I had no clue at the beginning when I first started reading it.
Just before we started recording, I did do a quick few seconds of research to find out what had happened right before this story and kind of generally high level what happened right after it.
Okay, I almost did that and I ran out of time, but that's good that you did.
The stories before and after were written by different people.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it was James Robinson before it, it was Grant Morrison for this, and I've already forgotten who was after it. But it was somebody other than those two.
That's interesting that they broke it off and gave Grant Morrison just these four issues then.
Yeah, I am curious what led to this story happening at all.
Yeah, that's weird. That's kind of, it almost sounds like if you would have told me that in a bubble and not having read this, it almost sounds like an event took the book over.
Kind of, sort of, because I think this story connects to what had happened before and is also completely disconnected from what had happened before.
Okay. All right.
Because this does feel like it's in its own little bubble. And man, that jumped out at me so much at the beginning of this story. Because we start with Commissioner Gordon having been poisoned by the Joker. I don't know if he jumped off a roof, fell off the roof, or what. The Joker seems to have killed Batman. Batman seems to kill the Joker. All kinds of crazy things are happening. Batman's, you know, told Joker's not dead, so he throws him in the dumpster, and I'm like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, it was total chaos at the beginning. I was like, wow. Action, but chaotic action.
Well, and it turns out this there was like two Batmans at one point, and this other Batman was an ex-cop that snapped. That was the one who may have tried to kill the Joker, yada, yada, yada. And this whole thing is apparently hinging on Batman having gone, you know, to the nth degree or whatever the last couple of days, cleaning up Gotham City, and everybody except for like Two-Face and one or two other minor nut jobs are taken care of. And I don't know if that's just between the last story in this or what had been happening the last few months, if it was all building up and this was just the culmination of that. But there was so many aspects of this that felt almost high-level perfunctory, or like, we've got an outline and let's just do a thin coat of paint to give it enough dialogue to do as a comic.
Okay, yeah.
Because there were a couple of pages in various issues here where it's like, man, there's no real dialogue here. It's just, let's get the kind of the key shots, imply what happens, and go from there.
There was some definite decompression. Like with, you know, like you're looking, I was looking at the thing with Jim Gordon just kind of recovering from the Joker spray or whatever. And then you get, you know, Batman kind of lifting weights and working on, I'm guessing it's the communications and it's a mask. That's the best thing I could get it. But yeah, it just kind of plotted right there. I was like, okay, where are we going with this? What's going on? And it wasn't until like actually the very end where we get teased at what this story is going to be about.
Yeah, the pacing on this is all over the place because all of this, like you said, is set up for the introduction of Damian Wayne.
Yes.
But, you know, you look at the first couple of pages with the whole thing with the Joker, and there's like this whole Joker story compressed into just a handful of pages, then cut to right after the, like you said, the scene with Gordon in the hospital recovering, we get this montage of, you know, 3 p.m., 5 p.m., 7 p.m., 9 p.m., like it's just, we got to go through the day, and what's Batman doing? Honestly, it doesn't seem like he spends his day very well, but that's just me.
Yeah, soldering a mask. That's what he does.
And we spend more time in the Batcave with people talking than we spend on the whole Joker thing. And I'm like, what's going on with this? We then get the Langstroms introduced, and then it felt like out of nowhere. Alfred is chiding Bruce for being Batman all the time, using the voice all the time, all the stuff he had to originally work for, it's now just him. So let's get out of town. They wind up in London. as they're checking in, Kirk Langstrom, Man-Bat, shows up and is acting kind of squirrely.
Yep, like a total nutcase.
And somehow Bruce and Alfred both pick up on that. I'm like, how could they not?
Yeah, very apparent. But his wife has been abducted.
Yeah, and it's funny because as key as the Langstroms are to this story, they feel like they are glorified extras.
I know exactly what you mean on that point, because I was reading it and I was just like, what's the point of the Man-Bat Brigade being in here, you know, where they take this? Because it just didn't seem very integral to the story what we're telling here. It's just set up for an action set piece to happen later on.
Well, because ninja Man-Bats are cool, I guess.
Exactly. We got to have something cool in here. What would be cooler than one Man-Bat, but 20 or 30 or however many they ended up creating?
It seemed like an untold number, because what happens to take Bruce down in one of these issues, I forget which one, it was the next one, the second one of the two, 656. He's basically just overwhelmed by the numbers.
Yeah, because he takes out quite a few, and I was like, okay, that's over. And then you realize, oh, that's just the first four or five or however many he took down. Here's the next group.
Well, and I think the entire next issue takes place most of it, at this party that's being thrown at this museum or something. It's doing some inexplicable comic book art exhibit thing in the middle of, I don't know, where the hell is this set again?
I can't remember. Let's say Gotham, but it's literally all Zipatone art, which was bizarre.
Well, I think it was still in London at this point.
London, yeah, that's right.
It made no sense.
No, it was really weird.
There was this one line as the Man-Bat ninjas are attacking the art thing, and it's presumably a narration by Batman. If there's one thing I hate, it's art with no content.
Yeah, that's exactly what we have.
And I'm like, wow, that's a little on the nose. I completely understand that.
Yeah, what made that art exhibit so much even more bizarre is you have all these little Zipatone paintings everywhere. It's a fundraiser for Africa, and yet you have this giant Godzilla hanging upside down, almost in like an amber or something. I'm like, what? What is this? I don't get it.
It struck me as trying to wow the audience.
Yeah.
But there were places, like, there's the one where I can't even describe the page. It's before he gets wrapped up in the net with the Man-Bats. It's the page leading into that.
Okay.
The camera angle is, I guess, shooting kind of up maybe at him. It's such a bizarre camera angle. And it's like that panel just wasn't working for me. And there were so many places where, and this is Andy Kubert.
Yeah.
He's a good artist. This was just, I don't know, either experimental or what, but it wasn't working for me.
Yeah. There was a lot of weird stuff. And at the same time, there were action set pieces because of the Joker stuff and because of the Man-Bat stuff that they stuck in there. Without that, I don't want to say it would be boring, because I think there's an interesting story to tell with Talia and Batman and their whole history and introducing Damian versus having all this crazy cool stuff that really didn't matter with what we're trying to get to.
Yeah, it seemed like a shock and awe kind of a story of, we've got all this excitement we've got to throw at you, and it takes till really the end of this second issue of the four parts to properly introduce, to start to properly introduce Damian. We don't even get his name till next issue.
Yeah, you just see this little guy, and it looks like a little Bruce Wayne, you know, it looks like a man's face, saying, "Father, yeah. I imagined you taller," but you know, a lot of artists have difficult times with kids, but yeah, that's what he looks like, little-bodied Bruce.
Well, and there's a panel of Talia and Bruce having shared a night in the desert, and I don't know exactly what storyline that's alluding to. It's similar-ish to Son of the Demon, but not exactly it. And it's similar-ish to some other stuff from the 70s, I think.
Exactly. I was like, are they trying to tie in Son of the Demon with this scene? But it's not exact. They could have almost referenced that art to make it be that scene, but they didn't. It's close, but not exact.
Yeah, yeah.
And so that's where I'm like, I don't know where this happened.
Well, as we're recording it this week, just recently there was an oversized thing that DC released. What was that? It was a limited collector's edition number 51 facsimile.
Yes, I did pick that up.
I think the image they've kind of got, although Batman's got more of his costume on in the facsimile, and in the original story, that's the closest image I've found, not that I've done any extensive research.
Yeah. By the way, that facsimile, I knew it was oversized. I thought it was a magazine. That thing is huge.
Tabloid size, I believe. Yeah, it's huge.
I don't know where I'm going to put it. I have it in a plastic bag, and I'm like, it won't fit in any box. I guess you just lay it on top of your comic boxes. I don't know.
Have I mentioned this is why I don't like odd-sized items?
Yeah, this is one I got. I was like, oh, it won't even fit in a magazine box. Oh, God.
Where the hell do you put it? I've got it on one of my bookcases now, but a month from now, if you were to ask me, hey, can you go find it? I'm like, I don't know.
That's the one thing I disliked about it. Other than that, it was a decent issue. Nice reprint.
Yeah, but again, that's one of the 70s stories that I think they're referring to here, but it was left vague enough that a lot of people, I think, felt this was bringing Son of the Demon into continuity. And, okay, she's got a kid, she had a kid there, so maybe, but not exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, it's the same concept, it's just this isn't the way it happened in that story. Because yeah. In that story, there's a whole adoption aspect that gets taken over.
When we're done with this, let's go back to that adoption aspect.
Okay.
I got something I want to, it might be interesting on that.
All right, cool.
Again, halfway through the story, we finally get the point of the story, which is introducing Damien.
Yeah. And he just seems like a brat in here, didn't he?
Oh, I don't even think he's that nice.
I mean, I like him. He's a little snarky now, but he definitely was unlikable this first appearance. It's like, oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, they toned him way the hell down to make him bearable and likable. Because at this point, not only is he just over the top, in this next issue of 657, he sneaks out of the Batcave, kills a low-level villain that we've never heard of before, and obviously we'll never hear of again, and just about eviscerates Tim. Physically, not verbally.
With his Wolverine-like claw on his glove. I was like, oh my god, this kid is brutal. Just seeing Tim is like, you're my rival, I'm going to get you out of my dad's life, you know? You're mm-hmm. You're done. I'm here to replace you. And you're just like, hey, listen here, you little, I'm thinking of a bad word. I've been here for years. Chill out. Yeah, you want to slap him at that point. I saw Batman yell at him, and it was deserved. I wouldn't have been surprised if he put hands on him at that point.
Well, he had to lay down the law at that point, but a little too late at that point, too. I mean,
he's grown a little. I mean, he's a teen, a preteen or something.
Well, look at Damien's relationship with Alfred compared to where they start, where he's very antagonistic towards Alfred.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Very true.
And again, this was 2006. So
it's changed quick.
They've had a lot of time to build that change up, too.
Yeah.
But they had to.
I like the Damien of today. Damien, when I first read him, I think I would have hated this character.
Yeah, he was not geared to be likable.
No, they switched him, and I think it was the right move, because now he's likable, but he still has that edge to him, which is what I like.
I think it wouldn't have taken much for this character to have gone on a slightly different path and having wound up being the Robin equivalent for the Jason Todd Red Hood.
Oh, I could completely see that. That would have been pretty epic, actually. And you could have the two teams, you know, Batman and Robin versus Tim and Damien. Or Red Hood and Damien.
Jason, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, Jason. That would have been awesome.
Well, you could have them go at it. You could have them
team up.
Have to team up, exactly. Come at things from different angles. There's a lot you could do.
Oh, yeah. That would have been so cool, because you literally have two teams that are on equal footing, both on the same side and in opposition, depending on the situation.
I wouldn't say on equal footing.
Yeah.
I mean, Damien's clearly a better fighter than Tim, as this issue clearly establishes. But Tim is way smarter, a better planner, and a much better thinker and stuff, and certainly a better leader.
Yeah.
And, you know, Batman versus Jason, I mean, I think there's a clear one-sidedness there.
That's true.
What makes it an interesting potential is Batman and Tim have standards, have rules, have principles.
And the other two don't.
The really. Other two will do whatever it takes.
Exactly. I like that, you know? Hey. We do what's needed to get the job done, which is not always a good thing.
The other thing that would be fascinating, once you had those two pairings set up as kind of the antagonistic stuff, toss Nightwing and Batgirl in the middle, trying to be peacemakers.
Yeah, that would have been awesome.
I mean, there's so many things you could have done.
Yeah.
And it's not like they've gone in a bad direction with Damien either.
Exactly. No, they haven't gone in a bad direction. And I like the character where he is now, because I didn't read him until, you know, I don't remember when Rebirth, the first time I read him in Rebirth, and I just fell in love with the character for who he was then.
I imagine some of your earlier stuff would have been the Super Sons stuff.
Yeah, Super Sons. I loved them in Super Sons. I was so distraught when they aged up John Kent.
Yeah, I think that was a mistake.
It was a big mistake. We missed out on his whole childhood and defining who he is. And they just matched up and paired up so well. The sons being different, the dads being different and working together, but having those growing pains. And they were the perfect duo. And it was ruined. And that I still don't forgive DC for doing that.
Yeah, I think that was a very, very questionable decision.
Yeah. Unfortunate. But yeah. It is what it is.
There were a couple of things about this third issue that just puzzled me.
Oh, what is that?
First off, we get the two-page splash of the Batcave.
Okay.
And if you go back to that first part of the story, we got a two-page splash of the Batcave.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Didn't look like this one.
You know what? You're right. I'm going back and I'm like, yeah, they are different. Huh.
This one's got all manner of OSHA violations. There are no railings. There are a lot of platforms that just overhang this huge pit. At least it's got water in the bottom. So as long as you don't hit the bat boat down there, I suppose you might survive, but still.
Yeah, that first bat cave doesn't have a lot of the stuff like the penny or the dinosaur showing. Nothing like that.
Well, and it doesn't look as vertical as this one.
Yeah, this one's more built up. It almost seems like a smaller cave, but like you said, almost a high rise.
Yeah, yeah.
That's weird. And it's the same artist.
Yeah. And two issues later.
What the hell?
The other part that got me was when we get to the, where was it? The spook who's, I don't know. And we've got his two thugs in, you know, ghost sheets or whatever.
Yeah, whatever they are.
And they're talking. It's like, hey, you ever work with a novelty crime act before? Novelty crime act? That is a horrible term.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell is going on with this? And when it turns out this guy is an undercover cop, why on earth would Commissioner Gordon send anybody undercover like this?
And the guy, was out of his league. And I've been found out. That was a big mess. And Commissioner Gordon should be better than that with who he picks to be on that team or to be go undercover.
You send anybody undercover with any of the novelty crime acts, you got to expect them to come up dead.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they, of course, have to go to Batman, who goes in there and saves them, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah. That was another, we've got to have action for the sake of having action. We got to have somebody for Tim to have snuck in and lopped the head off of, which he did very cleanly because there's no sign of blood. I'm like, wow. And then, of course, you know, we've got to have Damian and Tim face off. And you know, Tim's clearly holding back, but again, the whole bit of Damien being able to get past the voice recognition stuff because he's a perfect vocal mimic or something.
That didn't pass muster with me. I'm just like, how do you think he is here? 11?
7 or 8, maybe.
7 or 8. Okay. It's tough because he looks older in the face. Okay. 7 or 8.
Well, figure Tim at this point is around 15, 16.
Okay. So 7 or 8. So you have this 8-year-old. His voice is not going to sound like a man's voice, even if it's the same person genetically. And he's not the same person genetically. He's half Talia. That was ridiculous. I thought the same thing when we got there.
Okay. Even if he's 9 or 10, it still doesn't work.
It really doesn't. You have to hit puberty. And even then, like I said, he's half his mom. Everyone has their own voice. I don't sound exactly like my dad. You didn't sound like your dad.
But it's not that he did Batman's voice. He did Tim's.
Oh, Tim's voice. That's right. Tim's voice. Which still.
So the theory is he could do anybody's.
Oh, come on.
So I thought that was just out of nowhere, a little over the top.
And then when you saw the head, the one thing that I was wondering, he chopped the head off and he's standing there and then he has the key. The way you look at that almost is like he pulled the key out of the body.
Yeah, I never really understood what the key was.
And I'm like, why is it bloody? Did he rip this key out? And why is this bloody key? They didn't explain where it came from, and I'm like, what is this key?
Yeah, I was puzzled by a great many things in this story.
Okay.
And the more I got on, the biggest puzzle was, why am I reading this?
I think we read it because we wanted to see if it was a natural progression for Son of the Demon, which was the only good one out of the fake trilogy.
Out of the fake trilogy that this is a sequel follow-on to in no way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
Which makes it a perfect part of that trilogy.
It really does. It's the perfect tack on.
Because Son of the Demon had, none of that was carried over into the Bride of the Demon other than Talia and Batman had gotten into a fight and had broken up, which happened a number of times. And then Birth of the Demon had nothing to do with either of those other two. This is thematically related to Son of the Demon, but nothing to do with either of the other two.
Yeah, I would agree. And you want to know what? All this stuff being said, I agree with you. This story, once again, was not that good. You know, as far as stories go, I think Son of the Demon was better than this.
Mm-hmm.
But I was entertained by it with the crazy weirdness, you know, the Bat Army, the Man-Bat Army. And but there's so many things I didn't like. I didn't like the way they portrayed Talia in this book. I like Talia as a love interest. I don't like her being the cold, you know,
criminal mastermind who decides a Man-Bat Ninja Army is a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to send my son to go be with this guy because she's obviously raised the worst son in the history of children.
Technically, that's not exactly what she does.
Eh, not really.
She literally just dumps him on Batman. Here, you take the kid.
Yeah, what a great mother. Like, literally tosses him. Here, he's yours. Basically saying, I'm done with him because he's a piece of you-know-what.
And somehow, Damian doesn't really clue into that because you'd think he'd be a little upset.
He gets all mopey. Oh, my dad. I love you, Dad. You know, I mean, he doesn't say that, but he clings onto his father. But I'm like, man, this is a kid in search of firm parenting because something went wrong.
Well, and if you need firm parenting, I think Batman is a good choice.
He is. But Talia did that completely wrong. Almost like if you do that to a young child, making them feel unwanted, that's horrible. Your mom just, here, take him. I'm out. And then on top of that, knowing that you have my son, I'm going to create this Man-Bat army who's going to attack you and logically will be attacking my son at the same time.
Well, but that whole thing was because Talia's big master plan is to, I guess that's going to convince Batman to team up with her and they're going to rule the world?
Ridiculous. It's not going to happen. Yeah.
She's known Batman how long and that's her plan?
It just seemed so misplaced. Like, she's smarter than that and she knows he's not that dumb and gullible. I would appreciate it if there would have been an introduction, you know, hey, Batman, I'm sorry. I should have told you sooner. You remember that night we had, besides all the craziness of the Joker and the Man-Bats, hey, I know things didn't work between us, but we started a family. I wish I would have told you before now. Here's your son. And have like an emotional moment. Oh my gosh, my son. And he needs to be with his dad for a while. And literally, this could have been used as a segue to bring them closer. And she could have had devices later on of trying to do something different. And Batman, I can't go there. Kind of brings them together, but then they're torn apart again. But that story wasn't told. Instead, we get this weird, crazy story that makes no sense.
Well, imagine if she had come to Batman doing all of that stuff, and here's your son, and the tagline there is, I can't keep him safe.
That would have been even better.
Batman feels he's got to protect the both of them. The problem is, Ra's al Ghul is believed dead at this point, might actually be dead at this point. So what's the threat? You'd have to build that up. But the whole thing would be, okay, they're in danger. And then after a while, not too long of a while, hopefully, it would come out that what she can't protect Damian from is Damian.
Yeah. And you know what? That would have been an awesome story because you'd almost bring them together as a family at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Could they work things out? You'd have people rooting for the couple to work things out and the family. Him being a father to this kid and mentoring him and teaching him to be a better person, you know, the firm hand that he needs. Him looking at Talia different because, hey, this is the mother of my child. Maybe we should try to work things out. There's so many stories that could be told there that are interesting. And like you said, there could have been, instead they did this weird stuff, just very weird, and made Talia seem callous, makes the kid seem like bad words that I don't want to say.
Well, and there's even a line in one of the issues, and it had to be, I guess, in the second or third part, because it was had to be in the third part because it was after Damian was introduced and before he trounced Tim, where Tim and Bruce are talking and the question is raised of is he really Bruce's son?
Yeah.
And Bruce acknowledges maybe he is, maybe he's not, but either way, he deserves love or, you know, I forget what the exact phrase was because it was suitably un-Batman-ish.
Yeah.
And there's so many aspects of this where, I mean, Batman had lost his parents, so he's got to understand that what Damian should have been going through at this point is meeting a father he'd never known, but apparently knew all about, his mother rejecting him, he's lost his way, and Batman now presumably has a family that he didn't have before. It's got to throw both of them into a little bit of a chaos in a different way, because Batman really was kind of unfazed by all of this.
He really was, almost like to the point of it almost seemed like he wasn't caring. I mean, he took responsibility, but you didn't see a lot of, it was just weird. Like you said, unfazed, just, oh, okay, my kid, cool, let's go.
You didn't see a few of the obvious things he would have done, like doing a paternity test.
Exactly, like plucking a piece of hair, giving it to Alfred, you know, running it under the microscope. But like, he's a detective. He could have done the DNA test himself.
And he could have done it fairly surreptitiously without, you know, Damian really having realized. And he could have been there for the kid.
Yeah. There are so many things. And I literally think there's an alternate timeline, an alternate dimension out there where this story was told differently. And you literally have a Bat book where it's like the Bat family. And the real Bat family, it's Talia and Bruce. They're married. And maybe Bruce is stepping back and Damian's taken over, you know, Wayne Enterprises and taking over as the new Batman. That's a story where my son stepped up and took over but we'll never see that story.
Well, or they could have had Nightwing take a bigger role and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't too crazy long after this that Dick Grayson was Batman.
Yeah. He literally has almost these stepbrothers, you know, which is so cool because they were raised like Bruce's sons too. And it could have just been deeper woven family with the real bloodline, a wife, and all these, you know, stepsons and the real son. And I think that would have just been so cool, and it was a swing and a miss. But at the same time, I'm glad they fixed Damian, but this was told in a very weird manner.
So you don't like how the last time we see Tim, he's on an operating table in the Batcave with Alfred thinking he can save him.
Yeah.
And then Batman goes off, and of course, they've got to use a rocket to get over to the Mediterranean because, well, Talia took off a while earlier in a jet. How else do you beat a jet to the Mediterranean than a rocket? Because nobody's going to notice a rocket coming out of the fountain in front of Wayne Manor. That was, again, over the top.
It was just weird, wasn't it?
When we get to Gibraltar and we've got this huge Man-Bat army fighting the people that are there, all of this two-page spread sans dialogue because, well, we don't need to advance the story. And this whole thing ends up with Batman, Damian, and Talia on top of a submarine. A torpedo's been launched at it because this was, I guess, going after, was it the mayor? Whoever the lady was that was taken at one point that he finally saved. The sub gets blown up. Batman somehow survives, and we're led to believe that maybe Talia and Damian did not. Which, I mean, this is comics. Plus, just a few pages earlier, Talia had mentioned that one of the first things her father taught her was how to escape certain death, and right before the torpedo hits, she's got some bracelet thing she's activating something on.
Exactly, yep. But wasn't that so weird? I'm just like, so we know that they survived, Talia and Damian, of course, we know that.
You know that, just reading the comic.
And she escapes and takes the son. Why? Why bring him there and just whisk him away? I thought it was just weird. I was like, okay.
I think the question of why sums up so much of this story.
Yeah, it just seems so bizarre. And he just like, kid's gone, wife goes on. That's the look you get from standing on the beach. He just looks at it. No questioning, no wondering, no thought bubble of like, huh, I wonder if my son's out there.
Well, nothing. I think what he's got in his hand is Damien's cape and cowl.
Oh, okay, that's, all right, I didn't catch that. That could be, yeah, all right.
Well, I mean, it's not particularly obvious, but that's got to be. What else could it be?
Yeah, that makes sense. So maybe my son's dead. Maybe he's not. We'll never know. But we know. We know.
There were so many things about this story that I thought were over the top, more than a little ridiculous, had a lot of potential, but unrealized. And given the creative team, Grant Morrison, Andy Kubert and stuff, I was amazed at how almost clumsily parts of the story were done.
I agree with you. I expected better from that writing, that creative team.
And just taking it as a four-issue chunk in isolation from everything else, it was all over the place.
Yeah, it really was. Now, I ran out of time with reading, so I just read the four issues. So you get the new creative team on 659. You said you read after this.
I looked it after this. I did not read after it. It just enough to notice it was another creative team, and there didn't seem to be any mention of Damian in there or even having existed. In other words, that story didn't seem to be a follow-up to this.
That's awesome. We're not going to address any of this. And at some point in the future, they'll show you that the kid's alive and whenever they decide to talk about him again. But that's awesome.
I did glance at the story before this, or the issue before this.
And of course, Batman being so emotionally scarred by that event in his life, his son, he thinks his son and his former wife, in one storyline, are dead, is not distraught in the next issue. Just shrugs it off and goes on about his business.
Yep, as Batman's want to do, I guess.
That's awesome. I love this guy. He's so complex.
So where did you think things were at with Alfred, Batman, Tim, etc. going into this story?
Where did I think they were?
Yeah, did it seem like anything had been going on of importance, or is it just...
No.
Okay.
To me, it didn't seem like anything major had been happening. Had something major been going on?
Well, one of the last things in the issue prior to it...
Okay.
...was a scene that starts in the Batcave with Alfred, Batman, and Tim, and Bruce saying, you know, your parents are dead, you've got nobody, I'm not good at this, let's just show you. Leads him out of the Batcave, up to Dick's old room in the manor, and it's like, he'd want you to live here, and Tim's like, well, I don't understand, you've already given me the stable, I guess, out in the outhouse and stuff, because that's a sure sign of love. And he's like, no, we're a team, Wayne Manor should be your home, and he mentions he had made a decoration of his ward legally, but the laws have changed, so he can't do that, he'd have to adopt him as his son. How do you feel about that? There's a nice, touching moment, at least for Tim. Bruce is kind of, you know, of course, puzzled by all of that. And it's like Bruce is going to adopt Tim.
Wow. Okay.
Very touching, moving moment. No mention of that whatsoever in the story we just read.
Reading this story, there was nothing alluding to any emotional stuff that happened at all.
None. None whatsoever, other than at one point, well, it's weird because Damian makes a comment of, you don't deserve any of this, you're adopted. I'm Batman's son, I get everything. Or some words to that effect. That's the closest we get to a follow-on from the previous issue, or the previous storyline.
Wow. That's amazing, because that's a bombshell of a thing. When I say bombshell, there should be some reverberations in the next issue, you would think. Especially when you're doing a story about Batman and son.
You would think, after the I'm going to adopt you, Tim, moment... At the end of a story arc, you would have a one-issue thing of the coming of terms to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I you know, you would at least expect him to say something like, I found out, you know, look to Tim and say, hey, I have a son, and now I have another son. Something like that, just saying, you're still the one, I'm still going to adopt you, you're still my son. Some kind of acknowledgement to that conversation. There's nothing.
Well, but it was, I'm going to do it. This almost seems to cut it off at the knees.
Yeah. Oh, I got another kid. Forget it. You're a chump. Get out of here.
Well, and it seemed to be setting Tim up to die.
Yeah.
Last we see him, he's on the operating table. Maybe he lives. Maybe he doesn't.
Hey, who cares? I got a replacement. Or maybe not. But, oh my God. That was not addressed. And that makes this story so much funnier.
So all of this was edited by Peter Tomasi.
Oh, he's a great writer, too. He's the Super Sons.
And not a great editor, maybe?
Maybe not. Better at writing than editing.
Because I stand by, this was not a particularly brilliant story in and of itself. It does not fit into the bigger tapestry of what was going on the title at the time. And I expect better.
I agree. And I appreciate that you gave me that context, because with the context, it makes the story so much more bizarre. And not in a good way, bizarre.
Well, it almost feels like we're interrupting this series to generate a, you know, key issue storyline kind of thing. Of, we want to do a big splash, we got this crazy idea, let's toss it in there, and then we'll give it a little time to see what the reaction is before we actually do anything with it.
Just the machinations behind, I'm going to have this creative team doing something, we're going to have this mini, let's call this a mini event, a four-issue mini event inside of Batman. We're going to introduce the real son of Talia and Bruce. And then to totally just say, okay, back to you guys. You don't have to deal with that. We'll talk about it another time. It just seems so misguided, so mishandled, and so messy.
And it didn't have to be.
No.
Because if James Robinson's story was far enough along that the meat and potatoes of the emotional beat at the end could have been handed to Morrison and woven into the story and such, you know, that could have connected the two, could have made this stronger, whatever. But again, we're starting on the let's kill the Joker, and maybe he's dead, maybe he's not, and all this kind of craziness.
Yeah. If I was Robinson, James Robinson, and afterwards was, I'm looking up Ostrander?
Ostrander, yeah.
Ostrander.
Right. John Ostrander.
Okay. I wouldn't be upset, but I'd be a little disappointed that I wasn't given the ability to write that and maybe take off with that thread of my story. I don't know. That just seems weird to throw those four issues in there and not give the lead to the next writer or the big ending to the last writer, James Robinson. This could have been his big bum-bum-bum, I built up to this.
Well, and I'm not sure if Robinson had just done the previous story, if he'd been on the book for a bit. I just don't remember.
Yeah, who knows? I'm speculating. But it just seems bizarre at this point now. That's weird.
This was one of the things I always wished Comic Book DB would have done when they've got the list of the title. Add the writer and artist to that list of issues.
Yeah, that would help.
Just some easy way to find out, okay, who'd been writing this book and how many times did it flip around?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, after all of these the Demon trilogy and Batman Son of the Demon, I like that. Or was that the first one, Son of the Demon?
Son of the Demon was first, then Bride of the Demon, then Birth of the Demon.
Okay, after reading all of these, I could have just read Son of the Demon. I'm happy that I read this just because now I know where Damien came from, and man, I wouldn't have liked him if I read him here. But those other two Demon books, Bride of and all that, I could have just gone without reading those.
Yeah,
And this wasn't particularly great either. It was just, hey, I got to see Damien. Man, that was a disappointment.
It's interesting to see both what they've published at times, what people assume is connected, what publishers claim is connected, because again, they build the Demon stuff as a trilogy. A lot of people think this Damien is the child from Son of the Demon, given that one was put up for adoption and this one is clearly a psychotic killer from birth. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm glad we read all the stuff, but is it stuff I recommend beyond Son of the Demon? No. Son of the Demon I thought was really good, though.
Yeah. I think if out of the last three, or I guess four book clubs, that first one would have been good. And that's the one people should read after doing these back issue spotlights. That's the one I'd write. I think both of us would recommend.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm glad we went through this exercise. It was fun. And thank you for bringing the context, because I didn't read the before and after, and it did make it seem a little bit funnier to me.
Well, yeah, because I think this thing had no context. I mean, the Man-Bats are introduced and don't really seem to come of much. The Langstroms are in there, but don't seem to come of much. The Spook is there simply to get killed off. There's a lot of things that it's like, let's just throw everything in the kitchen sink at the plot and see what sticks. So I was hoping for better.
Me too. That's just disappointing.
Yeah, yeah. But it's fun to go back and revisit some of these stories. You know, in this case, 8 years later. Actually, no, this is 2006, so 18 years later.
Holy mackerel, time's flying.
Yeah. To give it some context and to know where the character ended up later. Not to say he ended, because obviously he's still a very ongoing concern with Damien, but to see how much he's changed and really become a key player in the Batman mythos stuff in the way that a lot of people that are introduced just don't.
Yeah, I agree. Fun stuff.
Anything else?
No, that does it for me.
Cool.
Recording clips for the preview spotlight episodes is easy, and we've got an open submission policy for these episodes. Please send in clips to support the comics you love as often as you can. If you'd like to get email reminders for the preview spotlight episodes, you can join the emailing list on the main page of the comicbookpage.com website. The deadline is typically the second Saturday of the month at 9 a.m. Check the main page of the website for more information and the exact deadline for the next preview spotlight.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.